repetitive or redundant and duplicate things. As we know, you know, warehouses are filled at the CDC with materials that are on the shelf, and also in Bethesda at the NIH. And that's also what we talk about at the NECAP group, is how do we take these information, these data, and how do we actually get it to where the rubber hits the road? And that's why we're trying to take this out to our colleagues, and we're trying to give this message and say that it's one thing for us to be in these, you know, organizations and in these systems, but we need to rank and file optometrists, the grassroots dentists, the grassroots podiatrists, the grassroots internal medicine doctors, the people out in these rural health communities. We need them to take this information and figure out how to best implement it in their communities and get it to work. And so that when that patient comes to the eye doctor, ophthalmologist or optometrist, he or she hears a consistent message. When they go to their dentist, they hear the same message. When they go to their podiatrist, they hear the same message. When they go to their internal medicine doctor, they hear the same message. You know, finally, you know, it's kind of like with teaching, you know, that laminating process. They keep hearing the same message over and over and over again. We're hoping sooner or later it's going to stick.
Okay. How about one more and then we'll do after?
Absolutely, and that's again goes back to the preventative measure of it. When you see at-risk individuals, and sometimes when you ask someone, when you're doing your case history, does anyone in your family have diabetes? And they say, oh yes. And then you can, that can open the door for them to have these conversations and say, well, did you know that your loved one could benefit from just doing very small things? Or has your loved one had their oral health exam, or their foot exam, or their eye exam? And then you can try to engage them. And you can also say, well, by the way, did you know that since your parents have type 2 diabetes, that puts you at slightly elevated risk if they have, you know, other risk factors as well. So that's one thing that we are really conscientious about at PPOT, is we're not trying to tell people how to do things. We've given them a core message that is the NDEP's message. And that's the beauty of these materials. When you go to the website, you can download these materials, and you can take and put your logo from your individual practice right beside the NDEP's logo, and you can print them up and give them to your patients. These are not copyrighted materials. We want people to use it. The only thing we ask, or the NDEP asks, is that you don't chase the content. Because these data, this information is based on, it's evidence-based, it's based on the science, and it's been through rigorous clearance. If anyone works with the governor, Janana, I know you're well familiar with the scrutiny that things go through with clearance. So you can rest assured that these messages are accurate and science-based, evidence-based, and it's not just someone's opinion. So that's a great question, both of them. Thank you.
And Dr. Soroka, you get first dibs when we're... Stimulating. Okay. Next, let me present Jeannie Washington. We're running a little bit behind, so probably what we'll do is try to hold the questions till the end. And here we go. Oh, and I forgot to mention, we need to indicate whether or not we have any financial disclosures. I do not.
No, I'm not funded. Well,
okay.
To be here.
And then
I have that in my second
one. All right.
Good deal.
Great. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Hello again. Again, I'll be talking about an evidence-based program evaluation, specifically a public health approach to promote glaucoma screening in at-risk populations at Stroger Cook County Hospital. And again, I have no financial relationships, my disclosure statement. If we look at Healthy People 2010, we all know that glaucoma is objective 28.6 and is referred to as having a major disparity amongst African Americans, and it is a major health problem in the United States. Those at risk, as we know, are African Americans over the age of 40 and everyone over the age of 60. If we define glaucoma, it is a heterogeneous group of disorders. It's not a single disease. It does share a distinct type of optic nerve damage that leads to blindness of the retinal ganglion cells if it's untreated. As we know, most are distinguished by impairment in the aqueous fluid outflow that leads to buildup and elevated intraocular pressure, i.e. primary open-angle glaucoma. We know that glaucoma has affected 66.8 million people worldwide. Unfortunately, 6.7 million people are blind, 3 million people in the United States, 120,000 people are blind, 76,000 people in my state of Illinois, a little over 1,100 are blind, and 35,000 people in my state, in my city, I'm sorry, of Chicago, 555 people are blind. As we've talked about before, there's a cost to blindness. We know that the federal government spends about $4 billion a year to treat blindness and approximately $1 million per person in their lifetime to treat blindness. At Stroger Cook County Hospital, they did establish a screening program in the year of 2000, and they see approximately 1,500 people every year. And the reason they established that program is because in order to get into the general clinic, like most county hospitals, there was a backlog. There's approximately a one-year backlog to get into the eye clinic at Stroger Cook County Hospital. So they established this program again to decrease that backlog, to develop better strategies for early detection of glaucoma in at-risk populations. And in order to get into the screening program, they did give the PCPs a specific set of criteria to use in order to refer these people to the clinic. So third, they wanted to evaluate the referral patterns of the PCPs. The specific aims of the program, they wanted to implement a unique glaucoma screening program, apply a systematic set of risk factors, and examine the impact of the positive diagnosis up to a year later, including the incidence of glaucoma, and to improve the rate at which those receive eye exams. My job was to go over as a consultant because even though this was a very good program that was being offered in the eye clinic, it had no evaluation piece. So with that said, we can screen a lot of people and do a lot of wonderful things, but how did they know if the program was actually working and what was good about the program and what needed to be improved? So with that, the hypothesis here is that underserved, predominantly minority patients in this hospital population with comorbidity of diabetes and hypertension, few social resources, and difficulty navigating a current complex maze of eye care services could be targeted for early intervention to prevent blindness through a glaucoma screening program that could diagnose and treat them sooner. If we look at the literature, I'll just diverge just a little bit to say that there is a growing body of evidence that talks about real progression versus perceived progression. And maybe next year at this time, this slide could have something different on it. There's a growing body of evidence that's going to be published that says that the perceived perception of glaucoma could be a little bit earlier than we once thought. However, currently we know that it is asymptomatic most of the time and that there is no clearly defined endpoint of clinically significant blindness in a defined period of time. When we ask the general public about eye exams, they say that it's been more than 4 years since we've had an eye exam. At least 28% of Americans report that. 16% report that about every 4 years they have an eye exam. 6% have never had one. And 50% are believed to visit biannually. 1 in 5 know what glaucoma is. And of those 1 in 5, those aged 50 and older are less informed, and as we know, these are the people that are the most at risk. Screening is beneficial for several reasons. 15 years ago, when I started practicing, we did not have technology that was fast and effective. These new technologies allow screening, again, to be very beneficial. The imaging, the FDTs, CCTs, nerve fiber layer analysis, allow screening to be possible, effective, and it allows for the screening of the masses. And coupled with an educational component, it can be very beneficial. And when there is a clearly understood criteria and tools used by those who make the referrals to the glaucoma screening programs in similar urban settings, it can also make screening successful as well. Well, as we know, in public health, we frame everything. And this particular program, I used a multidimensional approach for this program. The health belief model, which has been around for quite some time, was used, the social learning theory, as well as the diffusions of innovations theory. Now, I won't read these slides, but just to review briefly, we know that the health belief model is highly entrenched in self-efficacy. And self-efficacy, we have that when there's a strong cue to action. The cue to action here was the immediate referral by the PCPs. Also, the social learning theory has a triad. We know that an individual's behavior is going to be motivated by personal factors and environmental factors. Through screening programs, we know that it can serve as a model to change the behaviors by reinforcing those social norms, at least, if nothing else, about annual eye exams. And then the diffusions of innovation theories talks about the individual level, the organizational level, and the community-wide level. The individuals, being the participants in the screening program, were empowered by this particular program through the knowledge gain. At the organizational level, meaning the general clinic, they had to make adjustments for this particular program, and at the community-wide level, the hospital being our community and the PCPs that were involved did gain knowledge about the disease based on their criteria card for the referrals. But the take-home here as far as that diffusions of innovations theory is that there really needs to be buy-in at every level, and there was. In terms of the design of this particular program, there were 835 patients with predetermined risk factors at this Stroger Cook County General Clinic. The eligibility was comorbidity of high blood pressure and diabetes. Most were over age of 40, a history of glaucoma in the family, large cup-to-disc ratios, referral from PCPs. It was a quasi-experimental design, meaning there was no denial to access. The timeline was October 2004 until August of 2006, and this program was implemented on Tuesdays and Thursdays. There was a specific set of risk factors, the diabetes, the hypertension, the sex, race, history, the positive FDT, cup-to-disc ratio, and pressure readings. Of those screened, of that N of 835, it was found that 42.6% of the African Americans and 35.9% of Hispanics did have glaucoma. Those with the same four predictors, including the diabetes, high blood pressure, positive readings on the FDT, and large cup to disc ratios, 20% of African Americans and 17% of Hispanics. So when all of this data, when I put it into the complete statistical analysis, a one-tailed t-test of significance to determine if there was significance difference between those in the glaucoma screening clinic versus the general clinic over a two-year period, we did yield positive results with a P of less than 0.05. So how do we evaluate this? The program is ongoing. There was no evaluation component to it. So in order to determine, again, if this program really is beneficial, I looked at four different ways to evaluate it. Of course, the epidemiological definition of evaluation, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for Healthcare Research and Quality Evaluation and Empowerment Evaluation, and the CDC definition. Epidemiology says, looks at the process that that attempts to determine as systematically and as objectively as possible the relevance, effectiveness, and impact of activities in light of their objectives. Well, the program was relevant in that the measures addressed features of health of the healthcare system and its impact on Healthy People 2010 and how it is applicable to early diagnosis and treatment of glaucoma. It was effective in that these particular measures were based on evidence and links between intervention, clinical processes, and diagnostic outcomes. We do think that this particular model can be generalizable for other perhaps urban hospital settings, maybe some clinics, and even private practices. If we look at the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality Evaluation, it recommends that programs are safe. It was. As healthcare professionals, first, we do no harm. It was effective. It was patient-centered and very timely. In terms of the empowerment evaluation, which uses evaluation concepts, techniques, and findings to foster improvement in self-determination, these programs help patients help themselves. Again, with a strong educational component to it, it does allow people to understand the impact of the disease process and what they can do about it. The CDC evaluation standard is designed to summarize and organize essential elements of program evaluation so that we remained accountable and committed to achieving measurable health outcomes in terms of utility, feasibility, propriety, and accuracy. I won't read all these slides, but in terms of the utility, the program goals were understood by the stakeholders. I believe more so once the evaluation piece was added. A lot of times with a lot of programs, you can go through the motions, but if you really have a clear understanding about what you're doing, how it's being done, and the purpose of it, it makes more sense. So it did serve the needs of the patients, the PCPs, and the eye clinic. And as was talked about earlier, the primary care physicians did play a significant role in getting people to the screening clinic. In terms of being feasible, the screening measures were specified precisely. We knew exactly what we were measuring and tried to make them as cost-effective as possible because just like with many other healthcare, public health care programs, the funds are limited. So we tried to utilize the instruments, the volunteers, and the staff that were already in place. And with the tools that were used, they did give immediate outcomes. So the propriety piece was there as well. In terms of accuracy, again, because of the way the screening was done and the tools that were used, it presented itself so that there was a lot of construct validity, content validity, and face validity. So, just in summary, we know that 3 million Americans have glaucoma, and vision loss is permanent. As primary care optometrists, ophthalmologists, and healthcare workers, we can really have an impact in how this disease and how Healthy People 2010 looks at this disease and how to decrease the disparity piece here. So at Strolger Cook County Hospital, it's one of its kind, and as a first of its kind, actually, this department tried to implement this screening program along with this evaluation piece, and it did show positive results. As a result, there is a possibility for some generalizability here. I think I just went back when I meant to go forward. Just like with any evaluation piece, as good as it was, as wonderful as this program, and as positive as the results were, there were also some limitations. And that's one of the reasons why evaluation is so important, because we can learn from those limitations as well. As I mentioned, most of the people in the program or who were referred to the program were over the age of 40. However, some were young. And screening with follow-up in 1 year may not be enough. What do I mean by that? In the screening program, the outcome was either glaucoma or no glaucoma. And in that category of no glaucoma, it could have been glaucoma suspect. Those particular individuals that were in the no category were put back into the general clinic, which again could be 1 year. That may not be good enough for young patients. As we know, when we treat patients with glaucoma, in young individuals, we may treat a little bit more aggressively versus an older patient who's 100 years old and has most of their life years behind them versus in front of them. So that may not be good enough. Again, that's a limitation of the program and something that can be looked at. The growth of the program. It will require a more comprehensive evaluation model as it goes on. Again, what I offered as a consultant coming in was just a start. And just like with all other public health professionals, you come in, you offer your level of expertise, but you also want to leave your constituents with something that they can use for years to come. It will have to be fine-tuned as they go on. And in terms of cultural competence, just like a lot of other county programs, there could be a lot of different languages. And there are certain constructs that exist that do offer different ways of screening in different languages. One is the glaucoma symptom scale, the GSS, which could be used in the future. And again, as this program grows, they will need more resources to help fund it. But it was my honor to go over and help them with the evaluation piece, and it does have the potential to bridge the disparity with Healthy People 2010 Objectives 28.6. Thank you.
All right, well, that sounds like a great program. Next, let me introduce Janice Winters, and I didn't use that middle name. Okay, and we'll address questions at the end.